Black History Month and volleyball's first home matches of the season. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, February is Black History Month, and if you want to know anything about Black history on Tech's campus, look no further than the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center. Tennessee Tech Archives has created a virtual exhibit showcasing the Black Cultural Center's entire 30-year history on campus, starting with the 1964 edition of Leona Lusk Officer being the first black student to be admitted to Tennessee Tech, all the way through the summer of 2020 when the Racial Equity Task Force was founded to help develop an action plan for addressing racial equity issues on campus. And to talk more about racial issues on campus is Charia Campbell, the Director of Multicultural Affairs. Well, Charia, the last time we talked, we were celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Leona Lusk Multicultural Center. You had all kinds of virtual stuff going on in the fall, and we were talking about maybe some things going on in the spring. Well, here it is, spring. So I know you're still celebrating the Leona Lusk Officer Multicultural Center, 30 years in existence. So what's some of the stuff that you guys have been looking at here in the spring, and kind of how has that celebration been going?
We will have on March the 8th, I think at 5 p.m., another virtual dean's panel. So we had three of our deans from the College of Ed, the College of Engineering, and the College of Business back in November. This spring, on March 8th, we will have our deans from Arts and Sciences and Nursing and, I believe, Fine Arts. So at 5 p.m., everybody can just go to the website and register. I believe it should be on the 30th anniversary website where they can register and join us for that and hear about some of the diversity initiatives that are also happening across campus and what these deans are doing and kind of what they're looking at to move forward. And then on April 10th, we will culminate all of that with our Legacy Gala, and this will be a virtual event. Of course, we would love to have people here on campus. We had to cancel the event last year, which would have been the second annual. This year should have been the third annual, but this will be our second Legacy Gala, but it will be a virtual platform to help us raise more funds for the Diversity Scholarship Initiative, which fortunately now we are at a point as of this fall that we were able to start advertising in ScholarWeb. So we actually have a wealth of students who have applied, and we will in fall 2021 be able to give the first set of awards out of that Diversity Scholarship Initiative. So this Legacy Gala helps to culminate the 30th, but also to continue the efforts we're doing to raise scholarships for diverse student populations here at Tech.
Now, I know COVID-19 has certainly affected a lot of things that go on here on campus. Especially the 30th celebration. A lot of the in-person events have had to go virtual. But from a multicultural affairs and from the center's perspective, how has COVID affected it, and how are you dealing with those things now here in the spring after getting through the fall semester?
I will say, yes, it definitely affected us and affected probably a lot of our students in so many different ways. And a lot of them kind of shared the experiences toward the end of the semester. So we've tried to just be as flexible and as caring and concerning and reaching out to the students even when they don't expect it. So whether it's the phone calls or the messages like, hey, we haven't seen you, or if we see them, hey, we haven't seen you, you know, if they're walking through the RUC or we see them outside, just to touch base. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the students, yes, are more kind of isolated, I guess you'll say, because they have a lot of virtual classes, or classes went virtual and they thought they were going to be in person or hybrid kind of at the beginning of fall. So we still had a good number. We keep the space around at about no more than 20 students. So some days we are bustling right at the 20 mark and they social distance. And some days, you know, it's kind of like today, you know, we got a few here and there, but right. They kind of trickle in and out. But I will say a lot of them find this still to be a safe space, or if they just need to get away and get out of their dorms or apartments and just want to see somebody, you know, sometimes just to come and talk about what's happening. We keep our doors open and are doing everything we can through our race mentoring program to still have our meetings, whether they're virtual or some kind of hybrid option. So we do still allow space for them to come, socially distance, of course, and the mask and everything. But for those who may not feel comfortable or may not actually be able to come in person, we keep some kind of virtual form through Teams or Zooms where they can still engage. So we're still doing the mentoring program as usual and keeping the study sessions and our blackout nights, which are activity nights, going. And then we got awarded the Race Plus grant from TBR back in the summer. We started that in the fall to keep our sophomore through senior students engaged. So that's helping us to kind of keep the students engaged in as many ways as possible. So we even had a new class that Dr. Rob helped to teach in the fall. So that really got a lot of students who may not have been connected with our office more connected. And our ambassador program is still going, and the students stay involved as much as they can.
February is designated as Black History Month. Obviously, there's some great Black history here at Tennessee Tech, starting back with Leona Lusk, officer, being the first student here at Tennessee Tech. And when you hear the term Black History Month, from a personal perspective, what does that mean to you?
So Black History Month, of course, I think I grew up in a household where my parents, and even just hearing stories from like my grandmothers or, you know, older aunts and uncles and even great aunts and uncles who were alive when I was younger, just hearing them talk about their experiences. It's kind of a 365 a day, kind of a life thing for me, a daily thing. So, but it's good that we are able to celebrate because it gives the rest of the world an idea of who we are as a people, the culture of Black people and African Americans. I think more can be done to tell the story and to give the true story sometimes. But I think it's great that we even have an opportunity that started with Carter G. Woodson as just a week that, you know, in the, I think, late 1970s, maybe back 1976, where it was officially declared to be a month. So I think it's great that, you know, somewhere, somehow, somebody, it's always important to not just say, okay, we got a week, let's take it to a month. But I think for people like myself and others, you know, it's a everyday kind of thing. And, you know, we try to do the best we can to tell our stories and represent it. And it's good that Tech gets behind us, and as well as other universities. And, you know, I think if we can share more of what we do, even in the communities and the school systems, which I know COVID kind of has put a halt to us doing a lot of that. But that's why we're trying to do more virtual opportunities to have the information out there. And we try to partner just with campus departments, but also with like WCTE and other community partners who have reached out over the past year or so. So we're continuing those collaborations again and building even more partnerships this year with some of the things we're doing. But I think Black History Month is a great thing. It's something that can be celebrated anytime, such as, and I think it helped to kind of fuel the opportunities for Women's History Month, which follows up in March. Right. And then, of course, in September, early September, October, we have Hispanic Heritage Month for our Latinx populations, and then Native American Month and the Asian American Month and all that stuff. So I think it kind of helped fuel the representation and recognizing all different groups of people.
And when you look at Tennessee Tech, it seems to me like there is some history being made even recently going on here as far as the naming of the Recreation Center, Mark Burnett Center, you know, named for the first time after an African-American man. Of course, Mark Burnett, his long career here, he retired, and the first diversity officer that Tech had.
Right.
And then you look at Fred Lowry, the first African-American man named to the Board of Trustees. You know, so from a history perspective, I guess it looks like history is still being made when we talk about African Americans at Tennessee Tech.
It definitely is, and I think it's kind of integral and important and key that it's almost happening, you know, with the 30th anniversary of this Black Cultural Center and really putting a spotlight on what has happened at Tech, even though we know it goes all the way back to the 30s. And it was interesting just in a conversation with some alums for our Multicultural Affairs Alumni Council last night, and talking about the next honorees for our Distinguished Hall of Alumni Achievers, which is right outside the office here and the Black Cultural Center on the hallway leading up to the space, and who would be the next representative. So just even talking about Sir Robert Bradley, who was the first person, and explaining to some of the alums, like, how do we choose the next person? Which we had chosen somebody last year, and we will honor them this year through the virtual event. And hopefully we'll have a 2021 honoree, but talking about his story. In 1930s, where he was not even able to be a student here, but how a faculty member in the music department saw it fit to work with him, and they were meeting at night secretly, and the president at the time actually knew about it. He never allowed him to become a student, but he also didn't necessarily quite stop that education from happening. He never became an official Tech student or an alum, but his story spurned throughout the world in the work that he did in African American music and gospel music to even my mom, when she came to visit when I was starting here, she was like, oh, I know that is. She was talking about him, and I found the information here. So that information is now on the library archives with a whole wealth of information about the Black Cultural Center, the history here at Tech, from first administrators, first faculty members, to the first student athletes, mm-hmm. and different things, and some of the first student organizations that represent Black history and Black culture here. So, you know, I think it's key and integral that these things have taken place, like you said, with Mark Burnett, his longstanding career, now having the fitness center named after him, and right. of course Fred Lowry being the first African-American to the Board of Trustees, and the work that he did even before that and still doing in so many different ways. So it's great to see this history kind of continuing itself. So, and we want to continue to celebrate and honor them, and got a whole web page on the site just talking about the Black history of Tech through our website.
And I know President Phil Oldham wants Tennessee Tech to be more diverse. He mm-hmm. wants there to be more diversity there. You know, there is a percentage that he's trying to reach in the near future. How does Tennessee Tech go about being more diverse?
So I think with the diversity plans that we have, the strategic plan overall, and, you know, it's important that they have put diversity, equity, and inclusion in there, not just for students, but for faculty and staff, because mm-hmm. the recruitment and retention of students also has a key part in looking at how are we recruiting and retaining our faculty and staff here. So from the administrative to the staff level to also the faculty. So we have to look at all of those pieces. But I think with the racial healing task force that we just kind of recently formed here, that is now moving forward with some of the ideas that we had, that now every major academic and major department on this campus will now have a diversity champion. We just had our first meetings, and everybody who was not a part of the HR diversity and inclusion certification training back in the fall, we're now all in that second semester of the diversity and inclusion training. So I think it's key, you know, that we are continuing to do these things, and hopefully every employee at some point will be touched by that HR diversity and inclusion training. Thomas Hurd and the staff over there doing a right. great job in working with us and with Dr. Rob to really push that through, and it's a great group of people. So I think by the time we finish this maybe March, early April, with this class, there'll be about 70 or 80 employees who have been touched by that are gonna, you know, kind of be that drop in the bucket to keep the ripples going for what we're doing, but also keeping our students informed and engaged about the diversity, equity, and inclusion things that are happening on campus and opportunities they can get involved, because they are the ones who keep Tech going. If we don't have them, we don't have a comfortable, safe, and equitable space for them to feel like they want to stay here and be involved, then why are we here? So I think the key is we got to keep the student focus. But then that also looks at how do we look at ourselves from the faculty and staff standpoint, and just making sure that everybody has a safe, equitable, comfortable space to feel included, to feel welcome, and to do and be the best that they can be. So I think even with some of the ideas from the student action plan, there were a couple of students who came with a plan that they just wanted to present on some ideas mm-hmm. of what Tech can do. So them reaching out to different people to give the student perspective and give us true feedback has also helped to kind of put a lot of things in perspective, and what do we need to prioritize and how we can move forward. So I think we do have a good opportunity, a good chance to be a leader in what we do here in the state of Tennessee, hopefully even worldwide, with the size of the campus that we are, to be on the same playing field as a lot of these other major universities who are doing great work in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So what would you like to see maybe the next 5-10 years from a diversity standpoint here at Tennessee Tech?
So for the next 5 or 10 years, just actually a couple of students were here talking, and one was talking about an assignment, and she was like, so what would you, where would we want to have, like, we could have a whole building, like, where would that need to be, you know, mm-hmm. for the Black Cultural Center and Multicultural yeah. Affairs Office? And, you know, of course, we just talked about it. If we had a centrally located space, that's something, you know, I've talked about with Dr. Rob and other people, this diversity task force, and just in different sectors, you know, people have asked, and working a lot with development to try to look at some renovations, but just looking at how can we have a center that's, yes, has a Black Cultural Center, but maybe we have a space for Latinx, the LGBTQ, including the Women's Center, our Native American population, so kind of including everybody. So yeah. a center that's centrally located, that has a connection with Res Life, Student Affairs, of course, development, even the alumni, you know. So reaching out and looking at ways that we can have a space that represents and includes everybody, and where students can have activities and events and showcase the cultures and as well as faculty and staff to get involved, but also looking at diversity, equity, inclusion practices and policies that we have in place, mm-hmm. from the hiring to the training to how our faculty are teaching and what can we do from a technology standpoint, so that we're reaching everybody and looking at accessibility for our students and faculty and staff who require accessibility needs and things like that, mm-hmm. and how do we adapt our campus to be more adaptable, because I think that's a key thing, and I know Dr. Chester Gold and his staff are always talking and looking from that perspective of, okay, you know, we got to get these buildings together and making sure our sidewalks and just the everyday walk spaces that we don't always think about, right. how does that affect so many of our students and faculty and staff? So I think it's just looking at some of the practices, the policies. Of course, funding is a big thing, so getting more scholarships.
Yeah.
So that way the staff and admissions over in enrollment management, the work that they're doing, you know, if we don't have the money sometimes to
right.
help the students get here, we sometimes lose out, but we also got to build up funding for the activities and our student organizations and helping them be more visible. Having a smaller population of students of color, sometimes our student groups are not as visible. Sometimes they don't know how. So just being more supportive even of our student group. So there's a lot of things we can do over the next 5 or 10 years, and hopefully this new set of diversity champions, people will be actively engaged and have a better understanding of what diversity, equity, inclusion means. And it's not always about black and white or race, you know,
sure.
looking at skin color, but it goes beyond that, from religion to, you know, basically your sexual orientation and gender and mm-hmm. accessibility and all the different things that make us who we are. So looking at all the intersectionalities of each individual person and how we support everybody.
Thank you, Charia. And joining us now to talk more about black culture on the campus of Tennessee Tech is Zaire Maddox, a student from Memphis. So, Zaire, what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
Mostly financial aid, because this was the school that offered me the most financial aid. And also because at my high school, many of my teachers in my high school also graduated from Tennessee Tech, and they told me about it, and it seemed like a pretty good school. So throughout my senior year before COVID, I came to Tennessee Tech for like a few visits. And based off of those visits, I felt like Tennessee Tech was the perfect school for me.
Now, being a African-American woman from mm-hmm. Memphis, coming to Cookeville, Tennessee, to a predominantly white university,
yeah.
what was it like making that transition?
I mean, yes, it's a cultural shift, and it still is one. But I think I'm adjusting to it pretty much, other than like me mostly being the only black girl up in my classes, especially because I'm a computer science major. Mm-hmm. And for one, it's a male dominated major, for one. And then I'm also black on top of that. So I'm definitely kind of singled out in the classrooms, being the one that like stands out the most.
So you're able to come up here to the Black Cultural Center. How important is it to be able to have an area like this to be able to just come and study and fellowship and do those things?
I think it's really important, because when I first came here, I found out about the BCC. And most black students or any minority students, they don't know about the BCC because it's not mostly included inside of the tours or around the school. So my first and second tour, and like knowing about the BCC because of those tours, it was a main factor in picking the school, for one, and it helps me because I know I could lean back on the people that I meet up in the BCC, and also people in the race program and mentors that I have through the race program. I know I have someone to lean back on in case I need help with classes.
Great. So what are you wanting to do with your degree, computer science?
Right now I'm not sure, but I'm leaning toward being a software developer. Hopefully I can work for Google one day, or Amazon. A big tech company is what I want to do.
And have you been able to kind of talk to Charia and pick her brain or talk about diversity and things like that as far as campus goes?
Yes, since I'm on the Student Engagement Task Force. And so I'm basically representing students inside of the dorms, because they want to find a way for us to, like, have fun even though COVID exists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really good because we get to find new ways to, like, have fun during COVID. And also, I was one of the students who talked to her about my assignment about where should the BCC like have a building on campus,
mm-hmm.
because I have an assignment and we will get $1 million hypothetically, and I think the BCC getting its own building would probably be a good idea.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh no.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Zaire. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk volleyball with head coach Jeanette Waldo. Stay with us.
You can't predict the future, but you can count on Tennessee Tech University always putting students first. Tech understands today's challenges and helps students by showing strength, compassion, patience, kindness, and common sense. We put students first on a safe, accessible campus close to home. That's what you can count on at Tennessee Tech. Find out more at tntech.edu/wingsup.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, the fall sports such as football, soccer, cross-country, golf, and volleyball are getting cranked up this spring. After dropping their first two matches at Austin Peay, the Golden Eagle volleyball team opens up the home portion of the 2021 season on Sunday by hosting Eastern Illinois at 7 p.m. inside the Eblen Center, followed by a Monday matchup at 4 p.m. against EIU. And joining us now is Jeanette Waldo, the head coach of Tech's volleyball program. First, tell me a little bit about what's it going to be like for you guys playing volleyball in the spring. I know it's a little different, but hey, at least you're getting to play some volleyball.
So far, it's been a lot colder. that's the thing. I think we're just happy to play anytime that we can. So, I mean, I don't know as if we notice a huge difference between it being fall and spring quite yet, but you know, obviously we just waited a little bit on the front end of it. So I think they were a little more anxious because of the waiting pattern that they were in. But it was nice to have the freshmen come in and be able to get some court time before having to go compete, just from a comfort standpoint with their teammates and such. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're not going to really know what competing in the OVC is until you're really doing it, you know? So I don't know as if the time on the front end helped at all with that. I think the experience, you know, first game, you know,
sure.
Whether that was fall or spring, I think that felt the same amount of, I've never done this before, as it would have in the fall.
But now your schedule looks a lot different than it normally would. Normally you have several tournaments on the front end to kind of work out some kinks, kind of see who can do what and before you ever come home and play.
Yeah.
And
that part is very different. Yeah. I mean, that's a very different feeling, especially in a conference like ours that everyone beats up on each other all the time, you know? So you need those tournaments, like you said, to work out kinks, to see who rises to the occasion, and then also just to get your feet wet a little bit, you know, and just gain some confidence against some teams that you don't face every day and all that. So, so that part, we feel that. I think everyone in the conference feels that, you know, right now it's for all the marbles right away. And then the fact that there's a smaller unit of teams in the conference tournament. I think the teams that are ready the fastest for these competitions have a true edge on anybody else. So, we're happy that, we get to be home for two weekends in a row. And hopefully we really, you know, use that home court advantage.
Yeah. So, you know, you open up at Austin Peay and you're playing back-to-back days basically against the same opponent. Then you come home, do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now that you're back home, you get a couple of weekends here at home. How do you think that's going to help your team? Are the players excited? Are you ready to play in front of some, you know, home crowd and on your home floor?
For sure. There were definitely some jitters our first weekend out from everyone. Not just our freshmen, because, I mean, they haven't played against anyone that they didn't personally know in forever. It was something like 473 days or something like that.
Wow.
One of my assistants did the math, you know? So
yeah.
I'm just like, okay, so that's a long time to not have seen anyone else. And so, so there were definitely some jitters. And then, you know, you go on the road and you're not exactly sure what you're walking into, and you don't know much about the opponent on the other side because they haven't played in a long time either. So you can't really scout a team from a year and a half ago, even the returning pieces. And so, we were really just going in there and playing blind and just trying to play the best version that we could. And we noticed that there were definitely some hiccups of just wanting to play so much, you know, and just wanting it so badly. So now I think a little bit of comfort now being at home. We know what we're walking into. We know what our environment is. We know, like, they get to sleep in their own beds. You know, I mean, I think all of that, I think will definitely be nice. We'll have some families in the stands and, you know, another level of comfort. So I think that now is a great time to, now that we've been on the road, we've seen what that's like, we've felt what that's like, now come home and have a little bit of a fuzzy blanket on us while we try to do the thing, you know?
Yeah. You know, you've had plenty of time to look at this team. Where do you think you are right now as far as, you know, how good can this team be and, you know, what are your expectations?
Well, we have crazy high expectations, and I think that's part of why we had so many jitters the first weekend, because we know that there's potentially something very special here, and we really want to make sure that we execute it and use, you know, every opportunity that we have. And so sometimes it's just unfortunate that you focus so much on you know, these dreams and these crazy high aspirations that you don't remember the little steps that you need to take to get there. You know, you just try to leap. And so I think that's what we tried to do last weekend. And so we came back down to earth a little bit. You know, we went through some back to basic things, you know, just got our heads a little bit on straighter. And I think that, you know, we're in a better place now than we were going into first weekend.
Yeah. And we do want to let folks know, fans are available to come in and watch you guys, and they can do it for free.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Volleyball is always a free activity. And now we encourage, you know, come. We have a big arena. We, so there's plenty of space, so people don't have to worry about that. You know, not all of our competitors have the ability to have fans this year. You know, I mean, I think there's a mixed bag of that. So we're lucky that that's the situation. So we want to definitely, like I said, use our home court advantage in every way possible. So we want to see some, I want to say some smiles in the stands, but through the masks, you know, at least some, you know, smiling eyes.
Or you can hear some cheers. You can at least hear cheers through the masks.
Yeah, some cheers. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, Evelyn Center can hold up to 2,400 people socially distant. So, you know, I'm sure you would love to have a crowd of 2,400 people in there.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Jeanette Waldo, the head coach for Tennessee Tech Volleyball. We certainly wish you the best of luck against Eastern Illinois this weekend, Eastern Kentucky next weekend. We want to encourage everybody to come out and root for the Golden Eagles. And, Coach, good luck to you this weekend and next weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach Waldo. And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.